Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
New Year's. Tomorrow night, a lot of people will be celebrating in all sorts of ways. A lot of people will be waiting all night for a ball to drop. Some people will be waiting for a fish to drop. I don't know. All kinds of firecrackers will be going off, and resolutions will be made, the same resolutions you probably made last year and didn't keep. And a lot of ballyhoo will be going on. And if you like to party, and you party in a Christian faith, Christian way, that's a wonderful. It's another opportunity to get together and to rejoice. At midnight tomorrow night, I plan to be awakened by my next-door neighbor's firecrackers. Last year, he had 17 cars parked at his house for a party, and they love firecrackers. And I rejoice in the fact that they lost a night's sleep. New Year's Day is another day of celebration, but it's another day. I have a cartoon that I sent to my son on his birthday, and if you knew our relationship, you would know that he would laugh at it. The cartoon said, "You were born. You get on average 77 years to live until you buy the great dirt farm. Today, you moved one more step to the dirt farm. Happy birthday." Well, that's kind of the way it is with me with New Year's. It's just another day. And I think the writer of Ecclesiastes might have written his book on New Year's Day. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns toward the north, and the wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers came, they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." Then in chapter 2, he tells about the ways that he sought pleasure and fun, that he found riches and fame. He amassed houses and lands. He became a leader of the people. But the successful man dies, as does the fool. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Then he concludes, though, in chapter 12, by saying, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." And so he turns about by saying, the only thing worthwhile in life is to seek God's will. Every year a new phone is produced with a new gadget attached to it, and people buying it thinking they'll be happier with the new and then the old, and they soon complain about it. Every year the cars come up with some new gadget attached to them so that we will want to buy them. They have to have some way to make them attractive so we will think that ours isn't good enough. What about New Year's resolutions. Promising to keep those resolutions, and yet somehow we aren't able to do it. A lot of people put a lot of stock into resolutions and ways to improve their life. But really, we ought to spend every day with our life open to Christ and open to His Spirit. And we ought to spend every day by starting that day, Lord, if something in my life is wrong, show me a better way. Teach me your way and allow the Holy Spirit to nudge us into newness and a closer walk with Christ each day. That's one reason we don't make a lot of emphasis on the Lenten season. The Lenten season is a time of introspection and of saying, what can I do better in my life? Well, for the Christian who is led by the Holy Spirit, every day ought to be a day when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to increase our life and help us to grow in the Lord. John Orr was in a revival meeting, and during that revival meeting, he said he wrote a poem in just 5 minutes, four verses of a poem. I don't know what the preacher was preaching about, but he was writing a song. And it said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. And see if there be some wicked way in me, and cleanse me from every sin, and set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor soul with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, to thee I abide." Tuesday, I'll be one day older than Monday. And that's about it. But there is one day that I want to celebrate as a new day. And that is the year one. Up until Pope Gregory XIII, calendars were askew by about 11 days a year. And they had all kinds of trouble in fixing that. And so he established a calendar, which is the most widely used calendar in the world today, the Gregorian calendar. And where did he start the calendar? You had to start time someplace. He started it in the year one. Before that was BC, before Christ. After that was AD, Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. He realized that the only really important thing that ever went on in this life was when Jesus was born. And we're back to Christmas again. That Jesus came to earth, the only sinless person that ever lived, and he said, "I am going to die for you, and I am going to be resurrected in 3 days." And from that time, the whole world changed. Our history changed. Our attitudes changed, our laws changed, everything changed, and the world was turned right side up because Jesus Christ came. So if I'm going to celebrate a new day, I want to celebrate the year one. And people have changed the denomination of what is before Christ and after Christ, but to me it has never changed. It is the fact that it was set on the birth of Jesus Christ. And people worship all sorts of ways, but that is the most important day in history. One day I had a procedure that was done that found out I had carpal tunnel, but the fellow who was doing the examining, we got to talking about religion, and somehow the subject came up that I was a minister. And he told me all about the Christian faith and what I believe and what the Christian church believes. And then he said, "I am of the Baha'i faith." And he said, "The Baha'i believe that many people are led to God and come close to God through many different leaders, and there are many prophets, and he said, we believe that all of them are good for some people. And then he began talking about Buddhism and Islam, and he said, the only difference is you Christians believe that you are the only ones that are right and that have any kind of logical faith. But he said, we believe that Christians are included in all of this total group. And I said, well, the Christians happen to be the only ones that have a Savior that came from God. And they happen to be the only ones who had a man who never committed sin in this world. And if you read the history of all the other religious leaders, it's obvious to you. And I said, he happens to be the only one who rose from the dead. And he said, smiled, and he said, well, I know that's what you believe. It was an interesting conversation, and we didn't argue about anything. But I think sometimes we need to point out, or even to recognize in our own life, that Jesus is not just some nominal church leader. He is the one who brought the Holy Spirit to live in us and enable us to live a sinless life. Paul says it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We have a responsibility to carry that gospel on. So there's another day that is really new and really exciting, and it brings newness, and that's that day when you come to Christ and receive him as your Savior. That is a new day that you will remember forever. That day when you lead someone else to Christ is also a day you will never forget. I know a minister who seldom baptizes anyone. When a person brings someone to the church and is responsible and instrumental in leading that person to Christ, he takes that layman and has him baptize the person because it has such deep meaning to him. And I tell you, when you lead a person to Christ and you see their life change, you'll remember that day forever, and they will remember you forever. It's exciting to lead someone to Jesus Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors. Jesus, as I gave it, as I understand it, gave two commands to us. Follow me and go make disciples. People you and I meet every day need Christ. We don't need to be obnoxious to show our love. And when you meet a person who is struggling and in need in their life, either spiritually or emotionally or physically, it's a simple thing to let them know that you trust in the Lord for the answers and he has answers for them. It's just a simple thing to say, can I pray with you about this matter? And you can't tell whether that person may have been seeking all along in their life for Christ. But it seems like whether a person is a sinner or a saint, everybody wants prayer. Almost everyone wants prayer. I remember I went to a hospital one day, and I was the minister of the week at the hospital. Volunteering to the hospital that was a Christian hospital, and they wanted to see that everybody had someone to deal with them spiritually. And so I went to each room that didn't list a church or a minister. And I went to this one particular room, and I said, "We noticed that you didn't list a minister or a church when you entered, and wanted to know if there was someone you might want me to contact to minister to you." And this guy, in a very gruff voice, said, "I don't want no minister, and I don't want no preacher. I don't want no church contacted." And I said, "Well, that's up to you. It's okay. But we just wanted to make sure that this wasn't missed." And I turned and I walked out of the room. Got about three steps down the hall, and he said, "You get back in here." I went back in. He said, "I thought you said you were the minister of the week." I said, "I am." He said, "Will you pray for me?" Well, I went back every day and prayed for him while he was in the hospital. Somehow he had been hurt by a church or by a people that probably totally unintentionally and probably didn't even know it, but he had been hurt. But that didn't mean he didn't want God. And I prayed that his life would be changed and he would find the joy of the Christian life. I want to tell you about a new sanctuary that we built in Evansville, Indiana, built by the men of the church, mostly volunteer labor. We'd finished the construction, and we'd even purchased the pews and had them installed, but we ran out of money and we couldn't afford the pulpit furniture. Well, we had a lot of bricks left over from bricking the outside, and the fellow who was supervising the building said, "Why not make the altar and the pulpit desk out of brick?" So we did. His regular brick layers on his job volunteered to come on a Saturday and work for free to do that job. Well, halfway through the construction of the pulpit desk, one of the men on his crew said, "You know, it would look really nice if we had some white-faced brick to put in the center of the pulpit." Well, Carl said, "Yeah, it would be, but there's no place that we can get brick on a Saturday." And one of the other workers said, "Well, didn't we build a gas station out of white-faced brick about 2 or 3 weeks ago?" And Carl said, "Yeah, we did." And he jumped in his truck, took off, and he came back in about a half an hour with 8 white-faced brick that he had rescued from the dump. What a magnificent difference that made in that pulpit desk to have that white-faced cross in the middle of it. And it just set it off magnificently. And then we discovered that it really was the centerpiece of the sanctuary, as the entire sanctuary was that cross was aligned with the other cross that was on the inside, which incidentally, the other cross was also wood that was rescued from the timbers in the roof of the church that we had left over, and our man in our church who was a carpenter formed them into a cross and put it on the, not only on the front of the inside, but also the outside. It made a magnificent display. He took something that was useless, something that was planned to be covered up and become a part of the dirt of the dump, and made usefulness out of it, gave it glory and honor. Redemption is our task, to take people who are lost, people who are in trouble, and to let them know that God can change their life. There's a song that says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save." That's the command that Jesus gave us. Oswald Smith, who was his church, gave 75% of their income to missions, said every person in the world is either a missionary or is in need of one, because that's God's command to us to make disciples. You're either a missionary or you are in need of one. And that's the joy of salvation, seeing someone come to the cross, seeing their life changed and transformed and renewed by the power of God. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher that has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus was an honest man, but he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the 72 men who were the ruling council in Jerusalem, those who had crucified Jesus, those who felt that he was an imposter, or at least knew that he was upsetting the apple cart and wanted to do away with him, and did. And Nicodemus came to him with an honest heart, one of the most righteous men that lived, one who knew the Old Testament scripture as well as anybody in Jerusalem. And he said, "I can see that you're different. I can see that from what you did, you have to be from God." And Jesus said, "You have to be born again. You have to have the Spirit of Christ within you, or you can't see the kingdom. You can't see the kingdom on this side of life or on the other side. You can't have eternal life unless the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and a heart of love is what leads your life." Saul was a devout man. We look at him as one who persecuted the Christians, but he persecuted the Christians because he was a devout man and he believed that the Jews were right and that Jesus was wrong. And he was actually trying to promote the Jewish religious system by killing the Christians. But he wasn't happy inside his heart until he found Jesus Christ. And then he worked for Christ and for his kingdom, and he found out that the new birth does something really great to put love in your heart instead of hate. There's just one day in our life that is worth celebrating, and that is the day when we met Jesus Christ and found his peace and let him in. And there is one supreme joy in our life, and that is to lead a person to the kingdom. I see New Year's as a special opportunity and a special day to witness for Christ. When somebody says, "What are you doing on New Year's Eve?" you might want to answer, "The day I celebrate the most in my life is the day I came to Christ." That was the new day in my life. Jesus' last command to us was, "Go make disciples." Now, we do a good job of reaching out to our family and our close friends with a message of love. We invite them to church, and we see our church growing every day because our close friends see us living a Christian life and see a difference, and they come with us. Some of our relatives who didn't go to church for a long time see the change in our life, and they begin to come to the church where we found Christ. We do a good job in that way. But I want us to be aware of the people we meet daily who may be struggling in their life. And if we talk with them and openly with them and pay attention to their needs, we can point them to Christ. And these are people out in the world that may not know anyone but you who is a Christian, may not know anyone else but you on a personal basis. And you have an opportunity there. And so I simply want to open our hearts and our lives to the fact that people are out there that need to be saved, to let them know that they can have a new life and peace in Christ. And you may say, well, it's not popular to challenge people today. It isn't in our system. It isn't politically correct to take someone who has one belief or one thought or one way of living and try to transform them. Well, let me tell you a little secret. Stephen was put to death because it wasn't politically correct for him to say that Jesus is the way to life and the way to truth. Peter was jailed for speaking out. Paul was jailed and eventually put to death by those who didn't believe in Christianity. John the Baptist was beheaded because he was willing to stand before a king and say, it isn't lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It's never been politically correct to speak for Christ. And it's been objected to by many, but it's certainly not objected to those who are out of the arms of safety. And you say, can I pray for you? And their lives are changed. They find it politically correct. They find it right. And it's about time that we try to change our world. I leave you with a simple scripture. In John 20, 21, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of the kingdom. We thank you for the renewal that you brought in our lives. We thank you for touching our hearts. We thank you for the leadership of the Holy Spirit that each day of our lives points out to us something that we need to change, and you draw us closer to you. Lord, we pray that you would give us the boldness, give us the awareness of people we meet to touch their life and to say to them, can I pray with you? Help us, Lord, to be your ambassadors. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.